Hey Potters, welcome to episode 134 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay, the Paxoning.
Yay! Jazz hands!
We will be talking about PAX South later on in the episode. However, first, we are starting off, as usual, with cosplay updates. I actually have an update!
Yay! Okay, go Amber.
Even though I don't have anything physical to show for it, because we are recording this on February 4th, my class ends on February 12th. That means on February 13th, I can start working on cosplay!
Yay! I hope that's
so
on
in
a Friday.
2 weeks! No, Valentine's is on a Tuesday this year. So the 13th is a Monday.
Monday. Okay, so we're good.
So then I can start my week with cosplay.
Yay!
I will be working on Pyra first because I know there's the Ruby group at Akon. And because I want to be part of the group, I'm going to work on this one first. Yes, you'll be talking about that in a minute.
Yes, I will.
I'm going to work on that one first so that I can make sure that I have it finished by Akon so that I don't renege on my, promise.
Right.
To do that. And then I will start working on the other costumes. I actually had to make changes, Potters, to my lineup. Nobody ever changes their cosplay lineup before a con.
I know, I don't.
Times. No, because they took Project Akon and they bumped it back a week. So it's actually further into Texas summer, which means it's going to be even hotter.
Hotter.
Even warmer and drier. So I ended up having to, unfortunately, ditch Soraka for Akon. Doesn't mean I won't make it. I will still make that costume. I just don't have it for Akon because I would roast my heart out in that costume and all of the layers that it has. So I ended up having to go Pyra because it's a bodice, no sleeves, and Athena because, again, halter dress, no sleeves. And then I will figure out a third thing that will probably also not have sleeves. Because it's going to be warm and the convention center is full of windows. And of course, those conduct heat, which means the inside, no matter how much air conditioning they put in there, with 35,000 people, is still going to be incredibly warm.
Yeah.
And I actually booked my first professional solo shoot for Project Akon this year. I don't know which costume I'm going to wear for it yet. Haven't decided. I think it's going to be Athena. But this will be the first time I've had a pro photo shoot by myself without Val. So I'll actually have portfolio pieces. New stuff. Not that I'm ever going to need it. But it's nice to have.
She's growing up as a cosplayer.
I'm really excited to finally get back to working on cosplay. And I've been working out really hard at the gym. I can definitely see results. I wanted to cry last night when I saw results last night. I was like, oh, I'm not there yet, but I can see progress now.
Yay!
And now I can take that and work on cosplay with it. So my first project, as soon as I start, is going to be making slopers. I have to remake my slopers again so that the clothing actually fits. But that should only take a day to do slopers. It's mostly just taking measurements and then drawing a bunch of shapes on paper. And then taking the paper and making sure they actually fit. Because kids, when you actually make patterns the first time, even though they're two-year measurements, doesn't mean they fit on your body. Because physics is terrible and ridiculous and does not work the way you plan it to. So you always have to, double check and triple check. I usually cut my pattern pieces larger than the marked seams for that reason, just in case you need to leave them larger, because it's a lot easier to cut away fabric than it is to kind of have to stitch and tape it back together to make the pieces bigger. So, yeah.
Yay! Yay! That's so cool.
I'm so happy. 2 weeks. I just have to wait 2 more weeks.
Actually, less than that.
It's 2 weeks-ish. It's like 1.5 weeks.
It's a week and 2 days. A week and a day and a half.
Whatever.
Details.
In my head, it's not Saturday. I just got back from a really long road trip, you guys. My brain is fried.
Well, guess what? It's Saturday.
Because tomorrow's the Super Bowl where the crazy people go around.
Woo! I'll just be sewing. Foosball, okay, what's that?
That's what I'm going to spend Valentine's Day doing. Singles Appreciation Day, I'm spending it sewing on cosplay.
I'll be working and then hopefully I can get some sewing done.
Because I know that as soon as my Akon stuff is over, I immediately have to shift into TRF mode. And then I have to start working on Christmas Princess Zelda so that I can have that done for TRF. And that's when I have to work on Soraka as well. So that all my stuff is done for the winter season so that I can actually wear it if by chance we end up going to fall and winter cons.
Right.
Yeah, my goal is to return to Anime Fest this year just to see what it's like. So may have plans around that later on. We shall see. A lot of it's going to depend on getting time off of work.
Right.
Which is always... I have requested my time off for Project Akon, though.
Good. Yeah, I already have two.
And I took Monday off this time.
Good call.
I did Sunday and Monday. So
I promise you, you'll feel so much better knowing you have that Monday off. That extra day helps out immensely.
Well... has not been approved yet, so we shall see. I requested it. It doesn't mean I get it.
Right. I promise you, though, it is ridiculously helpful just to have that extra day of rest where you don't have to go to a convention. You can take the time to de-stress, unpack, and just chill, which is nice.
Laundry.
Do laundry. Yeah. Yeah, I still have to wash. Well, I'll have to hand wash one of my costumes from PAX. But yeah, I'm so glad I took that Monday off too because I needed it badly.
Things happen.
Oh yeah.
Your turn.
Okay, so since I have spent last weekend at PAX South, didn't do sewing then, and then this week was pretty much catch up at work. So I've basically done diddly and squat, and I did most of my sewing today. I'm back to working on Blake from Ruby, which of course Amber will be hopefully joining us for. That'd be great.
Working on it. I'm so sad I don't have a Volume 4 outfit.
You don't get that option. Sorry, sweetie. Stuff
I
happened.
I know. I can bring an urn of ashes before anybody else decides to put that out there. I get the trolling.
Would be hilarious. You should do it.
I wouldn't be the first to have done it. People have already done it.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I mean, it's still funny.
I refuse to acknowledge, therefore I will not bring anything of the sort.
Well, if it helps any, we'll be in season one outfits, so you'll fit right in. So my project for today is I've been working on her vest. I've had it patterned for a while now. I just haven't had time to actually sit down and do it. I sat down and I did it today. So the bulk of it is done. I still need to add on the straps to it. And after doing some adjustments, I've realized it doesn't quite work with my top. My top is a little funky. I'm gonna have to go back and fix it. And you can actually see I'm in the process of fixing it. I made the neckline really weird. It just doesn't fit for some reason. Like, it's great in the back and it's great along the bust, but just everything up here is like, what the hell happened? I don't understand. So I'll have to make magic happen and fix this or completely remake it. I haven't quite decided yet. But other than that, I just have to add a snap to the front, and I'm debating on how I want to do her weird decor on the top of her vest. I'm contemplating actually making it out of lace myself. I think that'll be different. It'll stand out. It's unique. It'll be a nice, elegant touch because our Weiss is doing crystals on her dress. So she's going to be really shiny and really sparkly. And each one of the other people in our group is doing something a little bit special. I'm really not, because Blake's outfit's very straightforward. So I think having that nice little lace detail on the top could, you know, help me merge a little bit better with the rest of my group. So I'm going to sit and debate on it. But I'm hoping to have this done probably tonight. Shouldn't take me too long. I just got to pop a snap for my holster in the front, pop on the sleeves, and I'm good to go. And then vest will be done. Yay! I likes it a lot. It's so cool. But other than that, that's really all that I've got since I haven't had a whole lot of time to sew. It's pretty much going to be work on this and then start working on my Pokemon costume for Akon. It is a sea of yellow behind me. It's a little redonkulous. I'm actually tempted to just take all of the yellow fabric that I've purchased over the past couple of weeks and just put it in a giant pile and then sit on it and then take a photo of me in that pile of yellow and be like, my life.
Put it in the bathtub and Scrooge McDuck through it.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I should do that.
Or just kind of lounge in it and then just like drape a couple pieces across the top of you like you're just bathing in fabric.
All the yellow fabric.
All the luxurious fabric.
It's so much yellow. Oh my goodness. And here's the thing though. It's not just one costume that's yellow. I've got three of them. that are yellow. And I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? Oh my gosh. And now I'm just trying to remember, okay, which bolt is for which costume? And I have another box of yellow sitting over here. So I'm like, oh, I better start labeling these or I'm going to forget real fast.
I had to start whenever I wrap my fabric in bags, I've had to start labeling it because I actually got caught not remembering what a couple of my bags were for.
Yep.
It's like, what was this for? What was this for? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
write it down.
Oh, whoops. I started doing that with my wigs a while ago because I had a couple of styles that were pretty close to each other where if you looked at it in the bag, you couldn't tell the difference until you opened it and you're like, oh, it's for this character. So I started actually writing it on the bags, you know, oh, it's for this character, it's for that character. And yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that with my actual fabric boxes too.
Something else to think about, kids, is in a couple of weeks, we're about to have President's Day here in the States. That is always a time when everyone runs sales. Because everybody loves a sale on President's Day. It's a great day to spend money.
Money.
Sure. Anyways, if you are looking to stock up for conventions mid-year, like Anime Fest, like Infinicon, like Acon, probably a good time to look to stock up on your supplies, particularly patterns, because Joann's likes to run sales on patterns at the same time on holidays. So it's not just Simplicity. It's not just McCall's. It's all of them. And they'll also generally run sales on fabric. A lot of the online places like Fabric.com, they love online sales. Arda and Epic may be running sales on their wigs. It's just an all-around good time to start looking at stocking up. Even if you can't buy all of it, that's okay. But if you figure you're going to use it anyway, if you're right, going to eventually buy it, you may as well save money on it while you're at it. So something to think about, because by the time you guys get this release, it'll be about 2 weeks before President's Day, which is on the 19th, I believe, this year.
I think it is.
My calendar, it's on the 20th, I'm sorry. Because it's a Monday, so it's 20th. So yes, it will be about a week and a half by the time you guys see this. Always a good thing.
Sales are always a good thing. I know that's our coupons and sales. That's how we roll.
I know Golden D'Or just had one, so they're not going to have one on President's Day. They're probably going to wait for Memorial Day, which is going to be the next big one.
Yeah, that's going to be
aside from
a while
Easter.
Out.
A lot of places do it on Easter, but it's a little less of a costuming sale thing. President's Day seems to be bigger on that, but the next major holiday on it will be Memorial Day in May. So good stuff. All right. Anything else?
That's all I got. So let's roll.
All right. So wanted to give a shout out to Eve of Cosplay in America. Lately, I know we've had a lot in the news that has been anxiety inducing for a lot of people.
That's a nice, safe way
of
putting it.
I tried really hard on that one.
Good job, Amber.
Sometimes when you just want to avoid everything on the internet because drama, 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 oh God, everything's exploding. Sometimes it's really nice to find those positive, heartwarming, inspiring stories. And I don't mean that to be very trite. It's not quite like, you know, here's a picture of a kitten on the internet. Not like in that sense. But sometimes it's really nice to read stories of success from people who have made it through hard times and have made it back to the top. And he's been doing a stories section of Cosplay in America since he's not currently working on a book. He's actually working on sharing the stories behind cosplayers on his site as well as his Facebook, which you can go find. I believe it's cosplayinamerica.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also find him on Facebook as Cosplay in America. And I will go look at the most recent one. There we go. I love the internet loading.
The internet is awesome.
The internet is for some things. Okay, so the most recent post was actually from an hour ago. And he did a story behind the guy who did the clenched fist meme from Arthur. And he talked to the gentleman behind it, and the guy was just, he did it on a lark. He was just like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's see who did it. And apparently it went viral.
That's awesome.
And the little frame just says, when nobody gets your cosplay, and it's just a frame of him with his clenched fist in the frame. Which, if nice. You haven't seen the meme, you won't understand, obviously.
Right. That's funny.
So it's one of those kind of cosplays that's kind of very tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yes. But the most recent story was yesterday at about 6:30 in the morning, where he chats with Steph von Schwietz about doing their skating outfit, which I assume is Yuri on Ice.
Probably, yeah.
Because it doesn't actually say it in the post, so I don't know for sure. But I'm guessing that's what this is from. And these are very short interviews, guys. They're only maybe 3 or 4 paragraphs long, so they're very quick reads. You can read them on your mobile. But it's really fun to read these. These are really well done. So good job, Ijen. Yep, there are a few others. You can see them on his website as I'm scrolling through here. The Cinderella in armor is actually really cool.
That one's the story behind that, and her interview is hysterical. I love it.
Which, to be fair, not Cinderella, Grumpy Princess.
Grumpy Princess, yes.
Which is what it says, yes. I'm reading from what it says. So shout out to Ijen for doing those. It's really good to see the positive side of cosplay given all of the drama lately. Oh, speaking of which, another shout out this month, because we are now into the month of February. Happy Black Cosplay Month. And I bring that up as there are several people who are now posting the 28 Days of Black Cosplay to highlight, you know, fellow African-American cosplayers and to bring them up to the forefront so that people can see cosplay is diverse, which is a wonderful thing. So if you would like to participate, feel free. We try and feature cosplay of all types, regardless of what month it is anyway. But if you see anything specific that you would like to see shown, just let us know. We are happy to take suggestions. All right. And other cosplay news. Did you want to bring up the next thing on the list?
I guess so. Sure. Since I'm the one who found it and this just made my entire week. It was so cool. So I'm not a big pageant person, but Miss Universe every single year, and they've been doing, I don't know how long they've been doing this costume portion of it, but they have the national costume show where all the ladies are dressed up in costumes that are supposed to represent the country that they're from. And this year in particular, it was just like, it was bananas. It was like almost every single thing that came across that stage was a cosplay costume. It was ridiculous and bold and beautiful and awesome. And I need to share some of these because they're just so flipping cool. Like how can you not love it? So this one's from the United States, obviously, but who looks like an interesting Wonder Woman mashup. But you know, you got the bald eagles on the shield. It's a Warrior Woman costume. Like, seriously. Amber's shaking her head. It's so cool.
And yet, it follows the typical sci-fi fantasy armoring of a woman where less is more.
Oh, totally does. Absolutely, 150%. However, it is
the shield covers more of her than the armor does.
It does.
Okay, anyways, moving on.
Moving on. So I think this one is from, I want to say Vietnam, where she actually had a puppet set behind her that moved with her on the stage. So when she actually stood still, she was making these motions like a puppet, like a marionette. And I was like, okay, I could see that like in a skit. Totally. That totally is a thing. And then this one, I'm not too sure which country this was again, but it is a giant peacock behind her. It is like festival times 150. It is so cool and gorgeous and over the top. And then arguably the best of the best, the one from Indonesia who looks like she stepped out of Saint Seiya. It is glorious and so cosplay inspired. It is just the bestest thing in the universe. I love it. I love it.
Oh. That was my favorite.
Oh yeah. I think we have all unequivocally agreed that this one is the best. Norway could do a little bit better. Norway did Elsa from Frozen, but you know, Norway. However, I mean, obviously, It's just so cool, and it takes about an hour to watch it. You can go to the Miss Universe website, and they have the full video of their costume show. Give it a look, because it is just epic and cool beyond expectations. And again, I'm not a pageant person, but even I was like, dude, this is really flipping cool.
I'm not a fan of beauty pageants at all, because I dislike putting women in that light, but those costumes, regardless of who they were on, maybe a little more modest in my own opinion, but still, there was a lot of work put into those.
Yeah. I mean, it was a serious costume show. That's what it was. It was super serious on the costumes. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I think Canada probably gets second place. I didn't do Canada. Canada was a giant snowflake. Yes. And a very cute sweater, too. I like the sweater a lot.
All right. Speaking of contests and prizes.
Yes.
We have one.
We do have one. So do we want to start out with our baby prizes before I do the big prize?
Yeah, let's start at small. Delayed rewards are a good thing.
Yes. So first things first, please make sure to sign up for the AllCon Friday Night Cosplay Contest. Signups are available now on the AllCon website. Or if you go to our Facebook page, do we have the link on our webpage?
Yes.
And on our webpage too. Sweet. So make sure to sign up. You never know what you can win. Pretty much we have adjusted the rules so that almost any costume can enter. You can even win a judge's award. You can win audience favorite even if you bought your costume. So you
we
know what?
Child competitors too.
Yes, yes. Kids are allowed in. Kids have won stuff from us before.
Yes.
Ah, so excited.
And for those who win one of the placement prizes,
I like how you're doing this.
Well, I was trying to fit myself in the frame of the camera. Because I'm trying to monitor my own feedback in my webcam. So, yes, carry on.
Carrying on. Okay, so first things first is we've got McCall's patterns. Yay! It's a variety of McCall's patterns. I think some of them are the cosplay patterns. I don't quite remember.
All of them are from their cosplay line.
Oh, even better. Cool. So, yeah, McCall's cosplay line of patterns. We'll be giving them away to each one of our category winners, which is beginner, intermediate, advanced, and best in show. So you have four opportunities to get some really cool cosplay patterns. Yay! And then we also have, for beginner, intermediate, and advanced, $25 gift cards to Eridani Costumes. Now, Amber and I have raved about them before. They make the uber awesome, fantastic latex elf ears. Everything from Lord of the Rings to World of Warcraft and all the stuff in between. They have really expanded their line recently, so they don't do just ears. They have accessories, ear jewelry, random other jewelry. They do steampunk stuff. They have some costuming things.
So you sell full costumes, you guys.
Yeah. So
you
can
want costuming bits.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. So that $25 will go a long way. Our best in show is going to get a $50 gift card from them. So that's really, really cool. I'm really excited about those. That's going to be a fun prize. All right. Hang on. This is going to be... I said this was heavy on the Facebook post, and I promised it was heavy.
This is our best in show prize.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a nice way to display it, but there is no nice way to display it, so that's okay. So this is our best in show prize. It has a value of $250. It is also the biggest prize we have ever given away because it is uber heavy. It is an airbrush kit. Yay! Applause, applause, applause. It's probably backwards up my screen. I don't care. That's fine.
Oh, no. It's right side up on your screen.
Okay, cool. Great. So this hefty boy, the reason why it is so pricey and so expensive and so wonderful is that it comes with a compressor. So we're not just giving you the airbrushers. You're getting the compressor, too. This is
a nice airbrush kit. This isn't like Hobby Lobby entry grade. This is a pro airbrush kit.
The great thing about this particular kit, because I used to have this machine in particular, is that you can use it for multiple things. So if you want to use it for body paint, you can use it for coloring and weathering your armor and props. You can use it for fabric paint on your costumes. It's got multiple purposes to this. That's really, really cool. So it's going to be, win the kit, it comes with three airbrushes. You got a set of paints, a cleaning kit. It also comes with paint thinner, so that way you can actually thin out your paint and do it for other things. Oh, good gravy. It's got the air filter, the regulator, you got an airbrush holder, you got two gravity feed dual action airbrushes. Oh, good gravy. This had more in it than I thought it did. It's got a lot of stuff. Oh my God.
It does, you guys. And this is pretty much the entirety of our budget. So, you know, first prize or best in show is getting a pretty hefty prize.
It is a hefty and worthwhile prize. You don't have to buy a single extra thing with this if you don't want to. It all comes in the kit. It is really, really cool. I'm so happy we get to be giving this away as our grand prize this year. Yay! Even though it's heavy. Ugh. Okay, done. It's off to the side. Yay! So make sure, sign up for our costume contest because anybody could win. We have such a huge fun time with it. If you ask any of our contestants, our judges, or our staff from previous years, they'll tell you how fun it is. We make it easy, painless. You're in and out in less than an hour, even better. Just sign up. Do it.
We're very efficient. Now, you can sign up on site, but that is for a limited period of time because we have to have time to prep all the contestant cue cards and everything else and make sure that, you know, we've got our timetable planned out. We do not have a cap for contestants, so don't worry about signing up by a particular date. We're not going to kick you out. We can take as many contestants as want to come in. We can handle it. So don't worry about that. If you guys have any questions about the rules, if you need any clarifications, you can ask us. You can always email us. Please do not ask for specific advice about your costume because due to conflict of interest, we can't give it to you. So don't ask us about judging type stuff. But if you have any, you know, if you need something clarified for you about the rules, we're happy to answer those. And if you have any questions about the signup process or the scheduling or anything else, please do feel free to ask. Unfortunately, we cannot use individual music tracks for the contestants. It just ends up being a logistical nightmare simply because people do sign up on site and we don't have time to include those. Not to mention we'd have to screen every track first. So it's just easier if we use, you know, general music as we do. So that's the only thing that, you know, we're going to have to put our foot down on. Otherwise, we invite everybody to come in, have a good time, enter yourself, enter as a group if you feel like it, enter as a team, enter with your kids, and, you know, try and tempt the audience into giving you audience favorite, perhaps, because we do have an audience favorite award. So just come in, have a great time. We always enjoy it. It's a very positive experience. Please do come and sign up. We have loosened the rules so that you don't have to have made as much of your costume as last year. So if you were, you know, unable to participate last year because of it, then we invite you to come and participate this year.
Because we are giving out awards for audience favorite, which we had such a hit with that last year. We're definitely doing that again. And we do have judges awards too. So the judges may think that your performance was phenomenal and they can give you an award for that. So don't be afraid to sign up. We welcome and accept everybody. So just join us. We want as many people as possible. And it's a lot of fun.
Indeed. All right. So last on our list, we have a PAX South review.
Yeah, I'm scrolling up to my review. Hang on. I actually had to type this down because my brain was kind of not working this week.
Type it down instead of type up?
Yes, I typed it down instead of typed it up. Ha ha! How dare I? It's been a very...
I don't know. How did you dare?
It's been a very long and busy week. As I think I pulled about 40 hours in the span of 4 days. So I was just like, I'm done. I'm ready to move on. Okay, so PAX South time. Yay. Amber, feel free to throw in your 2 cents whenever you want to, even though you weren't there. I do enjoy hearing your chuckles and amusement and your puns. They will keep me motivated because this was a lot of typing.
Proceed.
Proceeding. Okay, so I've done this, the PAX inning. This is another year of PAX South for me. And the expo is becoming the playground for indie developers, which is something I'm perfectly happy with. Each PAX kind of has their own niche and they capitalize on it. East is really for like the big developers. You get a lot of the early announcements and what to expect at E3. West tends to handle more of the tabletop crowd. And they do throw in a good mix of the AAA developers and indie because they're in Seattle and a lot of developers are in the Washington and Northern California area.
And then
nice. And then there's Australia, which is Australia, you know. Australia, yay.
They're just the Aussies, don't mind.
Don't mind them.
We love the Aussies.
The Aussies are cool. I will say though,
most of us in America love the Aussies.
I have no qualms with the Aussies.
Anyways, carry on.
Actually, what was really cool this year was they had an Australia indie developer showcase. So they had a section of the floor that was just strictly Australian developers showing off their games. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Bring in a little bit of the other PAXes to our show. That's a neat way to do it. So South is kind of becoming that go-to for independent developers to showcase their stuff. And we have a really large and thriving community, particularly here in Texas, but for most of the southern states too, it's a lot of independent developers, like 1 to 5 man teams doing their thing and showing off their stuff. And with PAX being such a large stage, it's a great opportunity for them to put their content out there and have people see it. And some of the developers that were there this year have been featured on big sites like Kotaku and GameSpot. So it was really cool to actually go to them and see their content and talk to them about, you know, why they made this game, why they wanted to do this crazy thing called game development. So it's become the one aspect of PAX South that I really, really enjoy. It's not all about Nintendo and Capcom, even though they were there and Nintendo was still showing off the Switch. Oh,
Nintendo was there.
Oh, God. Nintendo, dude, I have issues with you, Nintendo. Why you only have 8 Switch setups for Breath of the Wild? What is wrong with you?
The line wait to get for the demos for Breath of the Wild was 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's to wait in line to play a game.
Yeah. Guess who did not do that?
I don't think any of my friends did that.
I know of one person who did, and he was willing to wait those 4 hours. I ended up going to another booth that had the Switch available, and that line wait was only 1 hour. Was much more reasonable. I'm okay with that. Doesn't have to be Breath of the Wild. I was just curious about the Switch. So the other cool thing about it, because it's not being all hogged up by big name, you know, AAA developers, it means there was a ton of more games on the floor, because the indie guys don't need like 500 booth spaces to show off their content. They can take up one spot and then you're good to go. So it was just literally rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of nothing but games. And I think that's probably the busiest that I have seen out of any PAX. And I've been to East and I've been to West. And I've seen a lot of video games, but this is the first time where I felt like I was in gaming heaven. Like, I've been so immersed and I didn't want to let go. It was so good. This year was also the first time that developer panels pretty much did not exist. There were a lot of fan panels, and a lot of them focused on streaming and really more the professional side of streaming, you know, how to get it up and running, what's the business aspect of it, how do you get sponsors, what's the best way to get donations. And I actually sat in on 2 of those panels and I thought they were really informative. I appreciated it because I know it's something that I'm curious about. But it didn't really have a whole lot of flavor to it when you didn't have the developer panels. Because that's one of the cool things about PAX, is that you get a chance to sit down and listen to the people who make the games. Listen more about the industry. How do you get into it? And them being completely absent from the panel scene, it kind of made it a little boring. I was not really impressed by that. So if you're curious to see what I'm talking about, if you go to twitch.com/PAX and PAX2, they did record most of the panels. The content that you see there will mostly be like Acquisitions Incorporated and the Omegathon. There is a cosplay panel, which is taking 2D to 4D. I do recommend that you guys watch that. It's only 1 hour long. And they did a really good panel about magical things like, you know, how to make stabs float on your back, or how to make armor so that you can actually move in it, because that's a thing. And they had a really well-informed panel. I recommend that you watch it. But other than that, it was like panels were...
Let me just kind of, on a side note, I feel so bad for Rug Pisser.
Oh my God. The Omegathon this year was brilliant. The finals were glorious. We were all cheering him on, but man, that's 3 times he has lost. Poor guy.
So for those who don't know about PAX, a lot of what they do is charity work. They do work with Child's Play. which provides video games and other sorts of games for sick kids in hospitals, among other things. And so usually they'll have something called Cookie Brigade, where they go around selling home-baked goods to raise money for a Child's Play, in addition to the annual auction that they do at each PAX. And they have special activities as well. So after they get the totals from the charity, they basically celebrate with the final round of the Omegathon. And they have 5 rounds of random games that this pool of people play. And the winner gets a trip to a PAX of their choice, including PAX Australia. Australia, if they wish it, which normally all of the other PAX people choose to go to Australia. And then the PAX Aus people could just choose to go to one of the States ones. Probably West, because it's closest. But if you lose the final round of the Omegathon, since you didn't win the trip to PAX, you win an automatic trip to the Omegathon next year. So if you're second place, you get to keep coming back. And this poor guy, whose handle is Rug Pisser, lost for the 3rd time this year. He made it all the way to the finals for the last 3 years. And then got second place.
Poor guy.
And this year it was air hockey of all things.
I felt so bad
for him.
Oh my God. It was the best. And what was funny was that there was somebody yelling behind us, because they always do, like, before they, you know, reveal what the game is going to be, they always ask the audience, what do you think it is? And it's like, no, you're wrong. You're so wrong. You're definitely wrong. Somebody behind us yelled ski ball and we started laughing. And then we saw that it was air hockey and we're like, okay, so skee ball could potentially be an option. Oh man, it was a glorious Omegathon, and I am so glad I convinced other people to go with me, because they just don't understand. It's like when you're in the room and you get to experience it, you feed off everybody else's energy, and it is just a fabulous, fun time. I enjoyed it. I wish I could have gone to Acquisitions Incorporated. It just fell at the worst timing possible. I was just like, darn. And it was definitely the most packed out of any of the panels. The panel line for it filled up the queue hall, and they actually had to extend it out into the expo hall. So there was actually a full line in the expo hall just to go to Acquisitions Incorporated. But it was also the first time they had it at PAX South, and I watched the replay of it. It was a good run. It was a very enjoyable run, very funny. So yeah. Back to the panel thing. I do wish that PAX South would kind of address the panel issue, because that's one of the things I love about East and West, is that you get that one-on-one time with developers in a unique way by going to those panels. And it really doesn't feel like PAX without having those developer panels. So if they address that issue, I think I would love PAX South even more. My other issue is signage, because they changed the layout this year. There's a whole new section of the convention center, and they ripped down the other section of the convention center.
They were doing a lot of construction even at the last time I went to San Japan, so.
Needless to say, signs would have been really helpful if they had arrows pointing where to go, because that first day, the weapons checks table was not available, and none of the signs pointed to the weapons check. So I was able to roam the hall without having my weapon looked at all. Not really safe, guys. I felt bad about it, because we asked 2 or 3 people, where do we go for weapons check? And they kind of said, go down this hallway and go this way. And we went down the hallway and it took us to the main expo hall. So it was like, okay, not helpful. And also the way that the convention center is now built, I'm hoping that they fix this in the future, but the 2nd and 3rd floors of the new area don't connect to the 2nd and 3rd floors in the old area. You actually have to go downstairs to the 1st floor, walk through the 1st floor, and then go up. And unfortunately, none of the maps communicate that. It all looks like they're connected together, so it's very confusing.
One of the most important things you can do as a convention, any kind of convention, not just PAX, but just conventions in general, people need to know when to go where and how to get there. Signage is one of the best possible things you can do, and having an updated guidebook app is also one of the best things you can do, because it keeps schedules up to date, it keeps maps up to date, and it keeps panel rooms, so you know where stuff is. especially for people who aren't normally living in that city, because San Antonio is not the easiest place to get around.
Once you've been there at least once or twice, you start to get the feel for it, and you're like, oh, okay, so it all goes this way. But if you're a new time, you know, first person there, you're like, oh, makes no sense. It really
does, especially if you're not used to one-way streets.
Right? Oh, gosh. Death to the one-way streets.
Which we have up here in Dallas and Fort Worth.
I hate them so much.
Yes.
So those are at least my two biggest gripes when it comes to PAX. But of course, you know, it's not a convention unless we talk about cosplay. But again, this is not a convention. This is an expo. Cosplay, because this is Texas, we always do it bigger and we always do it better and over the top. And, you know, to no one's surprise, we had a ton of cosplay everywhere at PAX South. It was all over the place. I did cosplay on Friday and Saturday. It was uber freaking windy on Friday, though, so I didn't wear my costume for long. The wind jacked up my wig horribly, and I just felt too embarrassed to keep walking around with really crappy hair. So I ended up taking off my costume and going in normal mode for the rest of the day. However, I made sure on Saturday to hairspray like the living crud out of my wig to make sure it did not move at all. It was like helmet hair and then some. It was perfect. There was a ton of Overwatch costumes because, you know, Overwatch is the costume du jour and the game du jour right now. They also had the Overwatch winter finals there. So that was going on all weekend too. So it was lots of Overwatch cosplay. It was probably one of the biggest gatherings I've attended in years. Like, they even outnumbered my Final Fantasy gatherings at AKON, and those are pretty big gatherings. And what I love is being able to talk to everybody and just seeing all the creativity, because nobody did the same costume. Everybody did it a different way. You know, there were gender bends, there were gender swaps, you know, there were just amalgamations of just every costume and all the different custom skin. Some people did cardboard costumes, and they were all great, and they were all fabulous, and we just had a fun time. And that was kind of nice to see, one, not to have to run one of those for once, but two, just to be able to chill, relax, talk to people, and just enjoy talking shop. And that was cool, because I don't get really an opportunity to do that at PAX. PAX is so busy with, you know, run, have to get to the next panel, or get to be the first one in the line to stand there for 2 hours to play a game. You don't really get the opportunity to actually sit and talk to people. And so that was really cool. And it's the one thing I do appreciate about the Texas cosplay community, is that there's so many of us that we can do stuff like this. And it's so chill and it's so great. I love it. So overall, I enjoyed my time at PAX. This is probably my favorite of the past 3 years. There are, you know, little tweaks here and there that they can do to make it better. I mean, you know, we'll go then. It'll get better. I know it will. Most likely, I will definitely go back. The team has already sent out their survey of the event, and I hope that they take into consideration the suggestions I made about the signage and the panels. But other than that, you know, I'm looking forward to another round. I can't wait to see what they do next year. I'm hoping that it'll get even bigger once more of that construction is finished. I think that's the key thing there.
Indeed. And the cosplay will continue to get better too.
Cosplay will always get bigger, especially at Texas conventions. It just keeps on growing. It will not stop.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode 134 of Cosplay the Podcast. For all things cosplay, we'd like to thank you guys for downloading and sharing the show. Thank you very much. I know these have been a little bit shorter. Hopefully they fit in a little bit better with your listening schedule. Please do let us know. You can contact us at all of our various social media accounts here.
And right here, too. Because I still got to find a spot to put our Twitch.
Yes, indeed. And you can catch us on Twitch. Please do follow us on Twitch. You don't have to subscribe. Don't worry. We don't ask for your money. But please do follow us so that you can get updates on episodes, because they actually tend to release on Twitch first.
Yay!
But other than that, we will see you guys next episode in 135. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys. Be sure to sign up for the AllCon contest.